You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, powered by Diaga.ie and proudly sponsored by Flomax. Be sure to check out our brand new website, BetweenTheStripes.ie, while you can find us on Twitter at Between Stripes or on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Now, here are your hosts, Kieran Burke and Jonathan Breyer.
Hello everyone, and you're all very welcome to Between the Stripes League of Ireland podcast. It's Series 2, Episode 6. Kieran Burke and John Breyer in studio, and we have another action-packed show for you tonight, folks. On the show tonight, we're joined by Declan Fabio O'Brien from Soccer Republic. We have Julian Canny, our regular Galway United FC contributor. And we also have League of Ireland legend Stephen Rice. But I'm joined by the Yorkshire legend John Breyer again tonight, folks.
Evening, Kieran. How's things?
Ah, great, John. Yourself?
Very good. We had a good night out last week, didn't we?
Good night out, good derby win. What more could you ask for?
Well, against a very, very poor Athlone side. But I think we've discussed enough of Athlone, don't you?
Yeah, I think we could do a show on Athlone at this stage of the season. So, look, we'll crack straight onto the show tonight, folks. Before we run through the results, as always, we're going to bring you their very first interview from the get-go. And it's Declan Fabio O'Brien. So enjoy, folks. So we're going to kick the show off tonight, folks, by speaking to the man that can only be described as a goal-scoring machine during his League of Ireland days, and elsewhere too, of course. It's the current Soccer Republic analyst and manager of Verona FC in the Leinster Senior League. It's Declan Fabio O'Brien. Declan, you're very welcome to the show.
No problem. Thanks a million for having me. Cheers.
So Declan, we had your colleague from Soccer Republic, Alan Cawley, on a couple of weeks ago. Great chat with himself about the league in general. So we're hoping to have a similar discussion tonight with yourself. Maybe we're going to focus a little bit more on the clubs you played for, though, and how they're getting on this season. So I suppose we'll start with Drogheda in the First Division. Excellent start for the Drogs, and came back from two down against Galway the other night, who would be considered, I suppose, the hot title favourites this season. Have you seen the Drogs in action, and what do you make of their chances this year?
Yeah, I've seen them once this season, and you know, if I'm honest, they really surprised me. I thought their squad looked very light, and a young manager coming in, obviously, Tim, who I wish the best of luck, by the way. I think it's a tough job, but he's hit the ground running, which is exactly what you'd want, and scoring bags of goals and conceding not too many, which is, you know, a dream start for him and his name up there. So I'm delighted. You know, obviously I keep a good eye on what's happening up in United Park, and try and get up there when I can. But I'm going to try and get up there a bit more regular actually this season, and you know, keep an eye on the First Division, which is a very, very competitive league this year. You know, I think there's a lot of teams of similar standings, and I think it makes for very entertaining football. Like, you know, a lot of goals already, which is great for the neutrals and great for people going to games. So you know, long may that continue. And with Drogheda in particular, I think great start, and I don't want to be negative about it. You know, squad does look light, and can they continue that? Look, I hope so, but it'll be you know, twists and turns as always, and I think for them to sustain that type of form would be difficult with the squad they have. But you know, I hope I'm wrong on that.
Yeah, and imagine probably like most First Division clubs, finances dictate how strong of a squad depth wise Drogheda can have. But as you mentioned, they're a great start. Especially when you consider the disastrous opening night for Drogheda, where they didn't get to kick a football, and then with the storm shortly after that, they went 3 weeks without a match. So it's been a quick restart for Drogheda after all that off-field business.
Well, it has, and you know, the one thing about that was very frustrating start, but it probably gave them a little bit more time, you know, if you look at it now, to kind of bed in tactics-wise what they were doing, and lads to get to a bit more familiarity. And it might have been a godsend to them really, when if you look at the results they've had, you know, they might have been chomping at the bit that bit more, bit fitter from doing that extra bit of training with no games. And then, you know, it, sometimes you just kind of say, look at it in a few weeks' time and say, you know, maybe it was a good thing. And certainly by the results of what's happened in the first few games, Tim must be absolutely buzzing and full of confidence. And that runs through your team, so delighted for them. You know, frustrating start, but they won't really care about that too much now.
And just on the First Division, Declan, 159 league goals and 307 career appearances for yourself, better than one and two there. So you're certainly the man to ask about strikers. I was speaking last night to Shane Keegan for the Longford Town website, and he commented that he believes that this season's First Division contains probably the most amount of star quality strikers that he's ever seen. You have the likes of the O'Connor brothers, David O'Sullivan at Shelburne, Chris Mulhall at Longford, Lee Duffy there at Drogheda. Would you agree with that sentiment?
Yeah, plenty of quality there. I've always liked a soft spot for Davey O'Sullivan. I think he's not, you know, your type of link player you like, but he's just, you know, he's one of these guys hungry for goals all the time, and he'll certainly get his 10, 15 goals again this season. He's in over the top, and he's relentless as his running in the channels. But, you know, I would have liked to see him trying to, you know, maybe forge his way into the Premier League. I think it's a little bit of a almost the easy option is to go for first division clubs.
Were you surprised to see him leave Longford, Declan?
No, not so much surprised. I think maybe he felt he might went, you know, you stay at a club a certain amount of time, and sometimes what happens is you go stale. Even though you love the club and you love everything about it, you just feel it's like a job. It's, you know, sometimes you just need that freshness of different people around you, a different voice telling you what to do. And I can certainly understand why he left, but I think maybe, you know, even try to get a lower end Bray in the Premier, which, you know, Bray might be the best example at the minute, but someone like that, a lower end Premier team, which he, you know, a bit of ambition there, I think, with the move and try and, you know, better yourself and try and score 10 Premier Division goals rather than 15 fourth division goals, I think is a better return, you know.
Declan, we wanted to talk to you about St. Pat's. They've been a little inconsistent this season. What do you think their aim is this season? Is it realistic for them to be pushing for Europe?
Yeah, I think so. I think Liam is seriously ambitious. You know, I know Liam, and he knows what he's got there. He's got a good array of players and technically excellent, all of them. He's looking for the right mix at the minute, I think. You know, I watched him against Limerick, and I expected a goal fest. I expect him really to batter them, but the play at times was a little bit slow and lethargic. I think they did enough to win the game, but I felt they could have battered them with a bit more intensity to their game and a bit more desire. But then again, you're probably going to need Christie scoring, you know, in the 15 to 20 for them to be right up there for the whole season, because you've got your Cummins, you've got your Bensons, you've got your Holbins in the other teams that are gonna score goals every week, every other week. So you need your striker scoring that amount of goals to stay in contention with them. But I do feel Pats can stay ahead of Rovers in the third, you know, and I think, you know, Dundalk and Cork will battle it out as for the champions again. I think you can't look really past them. But I certainly think Pats with Garvin, young Lennon looks like a real good player. Back four is fairly, you know, Toner's really coming into himself. I think Birmingham's experience there will just help that along. And as I said, with Christie, if he gets a good run of goals and comes back to his form of maybe 3 years ago, I think they'll do really well.
So you reckon they can finish ahead of Rovers this season, Declan? Is it fair to say, would you agree that Rovers are underperforming? Poor defeat down in Waterford. I know there's been a lot of talk about the sending off decision, but from my point of view, John, correct decision on the night, and Rovers, Stephen Bradley, he's almost used it as a scapegoat, that red card, because he's been speaking. The first half performance was so poor from Shamrock Rovers. I just felt that they deserved to lose on the night. Didn't create a lot. So
I think the red was a bit harsh.
Obviously, the sending off is pivotal in the whole game. Of course it is. It changes mindsets. It changes everything. Got Waterford then smelled blood and felt, you know, the game's there for the winning. I do think Rovers would have got something out of the game. Something out of it. Maybe a draw if it had been 11-11. I think Waterford, who, you know, everybody now is raving about Waterford, and you can see it. But, you know, will they keep that up for the next 10-12 games? I don't think so. I think they're very good. But
do you not feel with the finances available at Waterford, Declan, that they can really, really push on and maybe not contend for the title, but surely they've got to be in the European shout?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't be jumping all over that too soon. I still think Pats will finish ahead of both of them two clubs we're speaking about. I think Rovers and Waterford, who are, you know, very good squads, but I think Bourke will be too dependent on Bourke with Rovers, I think. Mm. If they keep him, that is, I think he's the kind of lad that would certainly look for a move away and would be in that, you know, bracket of players that would be the next one or two, if I was to pick one or two, to head back away, you know. So there's a lot to be... Rovers, for me, have improved a lot, actually, this season. I thought at the back, even though, you know, 10 men, I don't really look into analyse that game too much, because obviously it was 10 for a long time. But if you defended a lot better, clean sheets in... I think it was four of the games there in a row, and you know, after a really terrible defeat against Bowes, I think they tightened up at the back there for the four or five games after that. So it was a good response from them. I still think they have a lot to do. I think, as I said, need someone else scoring goals with Bourke. And, you know, Bulger maybe doing a bit more. I think in the middle there, maybe bring McAllister in to play more minutes. I think he's probably a better fit than Bulger at times. So I think he needs to get his best team on the park, I think, Bradley, and I don't think he's done that yet.
Well, I certainly disagree, Declan, that the Pats will finish ahead, but I don't want to get in an argument with a Soccer Republic analyst again this week. So we'll move on and we'll speak about your current role at Verona in the Leinster Senior League. It's your first job in management. How have you found it so far, and how are things going down there?
Yeah, no, Leinster Senior is a different animal altogether. It's been enjoyable. I like the side of managing players and different personalities and stuff like that you've learned, you know. Everybody's different. Every player needs different things, different methods of you know, getting the best out of them. And I enjoy that side of it. The other side of it I don't enjoy is, you know, the standards of refereeing, the pitches, I suppose the amateur type mindset of people showing up, you know, on a Tuesday, not showing up on a Thursday. So mixed opinions on what I do with going forward, to be honest with you, because I just find being a professional in everything for the last maybe 15 years, I just feel it's hard to drop that kind of mentality. And if lads aren't on the same page as you, it's very frustrating, I suppose. I'm not being arrogant here and saying that. It's just a different environment altogether, and I'd have to really analyse whether I do something similar again.
And you find you can manage your time all right with how do you fit it in with your punditry as well, Declan?
Yeah, I mean, it's really actually going well. It's because I work for the Post on Plus now, and the hours I have are very good, actually. I don't have to go in until even late evening time, and I stay till maybe 3 or 4 in the morning. So it's actually works really well. The other stuff then is in and around that, you know, so it's juggling things nicely at the minute, and it's not a problem with time, but it would be more, you have to be really, really into it. I have to be really, really passionate about what I'm doing and feel as something that I'm getting, getting something back from. And I'd have to see for next season if that will change. But we'll wait till the end of the season and see what happens.
Declan, I have to ask you about Athlone Town. I think it's probably the worst side I've ever seen playing against Longford at the weekend there. Should they continue in the League of Ireland? Is there a possibility, I think there's a possibility they'll finish without a point this season if you keep on really playing like that.
Yeah, I mean, the gulf should never be that big in a team of quality. And, I don't know what's going on down there, really. I feel sorry for the lads down there who have to, watch that and manage that every week and almost, try and be positive and try and see something, a glimmer of positivity out of the situation. But, you're looking at lads saying it could be -5 and on betting tonight, and it could be this and that. And, it could be a 10-0er, and it's really poor to see. And it doesn't look great from anyone else looking in at the league, I think, to see a team that's, so dreadful that probably wouldn't even, would struggle in a Leinster senior game from what I've seen of Athlone. And they're trying to play against decent teams like Galway and UCDs and your Drogheda's, and it's just a non-event really. And I think, I certainly think they probably will be lucky to even finish off to get to the break, to be honest with you.
Yeah, especially when you look at the off-field situation as well. I mean, their last two league games have been delayed. The kickoff has been delayed because the team sheets haven't been correct when they've been handed to the referee. We've seen floodlights going out in their recent game against UCD, and then against Cabinteely, they didn't even have a goalkeeper. I mean, this can't be good for the League of Ireland, Declan.
No, I mean, look, we're all trying to progress at the minute, and everyone's trying to, greatest league in the world, which is a little bit cringe for me because I love being positive about the league, and I love, singing that tune that we want things to get better. But until the game day atmosphere gets so much better, the facilities get so much better, which we've all heard this all before, it's not the greatest league in the world. It's miles away from the greatest league in the world, and until these things change, and we've got a really good product in potentially, but it's so far off at the minute in so many ways that we wouldn't have the time to talk about it here on your show.
Declan, been an absolute pleasure having you on. Thanks very much as always, and keep up the good work on Soccer Republic. We're really enjoying it.
No worries, lads. Listen, lovely talking to you. See you soon.
Cheers, Declan.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Between the Stripes LOI podcast is proudly sponsored by Flomax. For all your compressed air, vacuum and industrial equipment needs, simply visit flomax.ie.
So, John, I could have got into an argument there with Declan, but, you know, he was kind enough to come on the show, so I'm not going to pull him up, but he's clearly wrong.
Well, Kieran, it's not like you to have a different opinion than a Soccer Republic pundit. But
no, never.
Look, we're going to move on to the goals and results from the Premier Division. So we're going to kick off with the televised match, which is always great to see for a start. Waterford 2, Shamrock Rovers 1, Kieran.
Yeah, this game certainly outshone the international that was on beforehand, John.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Waterford, they're still, you're still going against the critics, aren't they? 2-1 yeah. Victory here. One man that's really making a difference there, Vigoro in goals. It was nearly an own goal early on, but he made a number of good saves.
From
this
Gary
match.
Comerford as well, it would have been a second own goal in a concession. So great save from Vigoro. But I think the man that I'd have to really point out would be Courtney Doofus. What a performance from him. Really tore the Rovers back four ragged.
Well, exactly. First of all, there was a bit of controversy over a red card for Alex Gilchrist, Kieran.
No controversy for me, John. First yellow, extremely rash tackle, deserved that one. And second yellow, player gets out of position, slips, yes, so it may be accidental, but the rule book does not make allowances for accidental or deliberate. He's made contact with the player as he was running in on goal. It's a yellow card. It's a second yellow, sending off. And I haven't heard so much about a red card made after a game as this one. I really do think Shamrock Rovers, it's been a blessing in disguise for them, John, because their first half performance was absolutely woeful. I know they had obviously this setback with the red card and the injuries to players in the back four, but for me, didn't create enough going forward. Only for that magical piece of play from Graham Burke, they could have been further behind in the first half, and I think Rovers have big question marks over them.
It's funny, isn't it? Because I thought it was quite harsh, the red card, Kieran. It's amazing how opinions can differ in this one. But look, we're not going to take anything away from Doofus, so, you know. But the Rovers' defence, terrible.
Where was the Rovers' defence, John? Oh. Nowhere to be seen. And I think we're going to have to raise it again this week. The goalkeeper situation at Rovers, Chinchinsey's come in. Obviously, he's a better choice than Horgan, but he was woeful for the two goals.
Yeah, and the defence was awful, Kieran. It was an awful defensive header first that led to that Doofus goal. And then another howl that led to a second chance for Doofus. You know, it was very poor. Like you said earlier, though, that great strike to equalise, Kieran.
Yeah, I think that's his seventh goal of the season now, Graham Burke. So he's carrying Rovers a little bit for such a young player. Extremely impressive showing so far this season. And obviously last season, he really came to the fore. Rovers may get it difficult to hold on to him, John. I'm sure that there'll be plenty of scouts keeping an eye on him if he's going to score goals like that all season.
Yeah, more awful defending led to his second goal for Doofus. So 2-1 at that stage. Rovers had the chances. Vigoro made an excellent save from a corner. Gavin Hullahan hit wide. There was a fantastic challenge by Daniel Carr, an absolute great defensive challenge on him by Comerford, Kieran.
Yeah, really made up for that own goal last week in Ireland with that tackle. From listening to the analysis on Soccer Republic this week, I thought Dave Barry was a little bit harsh on Carr, said he doesn't look like the type of player that will come in and really improve that Rover side. I think he's made an impact since he come in, but to me he looks like a real hold-up player, John. Likes to come deep and try and throw a few defenders and make space for the midfielders to run in on beyond them. So it's up to the Rovers midfielders to do that. I said it a couple of weeks on the ago on the show, John, I'd love to see himself and Gary Shaw play up front together. So maybe that's something Rovers can look at in the coming weeks, but I don't think overall in the second half Rovers done enough to warrant a share of the spoils here. And as we said, Doofus just he ran them ragged, and great performance from Waterford on the night, and they looked really good early on in the season.
They certainly did, but so much for the real deal, Kieran. I mean, we talked about this before, and had they not have had that red card, I thought they might have got something, but you know, that their defensive frailties were shown time and time again by Waterford.
But surely for a side that you're expecting, John, to push for the title, they have to go to places like Waterford and be at least able to pick up a point. Haven't done that. I know it's no shame losing to Cork, but that's a big game in terms of a title race if you're going to be involved in one. They couldn't get a result in that one. I was at the game when they played Dundalk in Tala. A very, very below par performance from Dundalk on the night. But with 20 minutes to go, Rovers were playing for a draw, John. That's not the attitude that's going to win you titles or get you in contention for a title race. And I'm going to put my opinion in the ring here. I think Waterford will finish above Shamrock Rovers this season.
Yeah, it's difficult to argue it at the moment. Shamrock Rovers just looked awful at the back, all at sixes and sevens. Waterford, they've got a good squad there, Kieran, you know, and even the lads they have on the bench can make a difference, which a lot of the time you don't see at League of Ireland Premier Club. So
I know we were half cut when we were discussing this on Saturday night, John, after the Longford game, but we did talk about Waterford, and my one concern is that they have a couple of key players there that are on loan. If they were to disappear halfway through the season, could cause issue in terms of replacing them, but obviously Waterford will have the finances to do that. But then again, with the link between themselves and Swindon with Lee Power there, you'd imagine that something can be arranged. And if Waterford can add one or two more quality players like the ones they brought in over the off season, there's no reason that they can't challenge the top two and at least cement down that third position in the table.
Well, and if Akinadi can get the form that he showed at Bowes back as well, then you know, that'd be like a new
signing. He got off the mark during the week, midweek in the EA Sports Cup against UCC, so that's positive as well for Waterford. I really do like the look of this Waterford side. Look to have a good balance about them. Probably will give up a couple of chances, but there's not too many teams keeping clean sheets on a consecutive basis. Obviously, we'll move on to speak about Dundalk in a moment, but early doors, Waterford looking really, really good for a European spot.
They are indeed. Moving on, Kieran. Sligo played Dundalk, and Dundalk, as you said, about the clean sheet, yet another clean sheet. Dundalk 2-0 winners at Sligo.
Strange game this one for me, John. Dundalk below par, especially in the first half, defensively made a lot of mistakes on the ball at the back and gave up chances to Sligo. Had Sligo been a bit sharper in front of goal, it could have been a very different story. What did you make of the game?
Well, talking about defensive howlers, Kieran, that it was an awful error from Sharkey. His clearance, he connected with nothing but air, and there's Pat Hoban just to tap in. At this level, you know, you don't expect...
Yeah, and actually in my preview for the game last week on this show, I mentioned Sharkey in particular because he had made a real howler against Cork in a recent home game. And that the mistake he made for the opener here just really reminded me of that. And it just shows Sligo's frailties at the back. And it was a positive performance attacking wise from Sligo, although they didn't score, they created plenty. Stephen Kenny even said himself that Sligo were probably the best side they faced this season in terms of creating chances. So if Sligo can sort things out at the back, I'm sure they'll pick up results, but it is a worrying aspect of their game at the moment, John.
Yeah, and Sligo were on top until that. Callum Waters made forced Rogers into a good early save, and Keelan McAleer shot straight at Rogers when, you know, so he's still compounding the critics, isn't he? Gary Rogers there. But, you know, talking about Sligo defence, we talked about that Sharkey clearance just hitting fresh air, but McLean nearly let Hoban in as well. The second goal came from a fellow you've criticised quite a bit, Michael Duffy, with a nice strike into the corner to make it 2-0.
Yeah, he's picked up his performances in the last couple of weeks, I have to say, and he's starting to score a few nice goals, but has to do it in the big games, John, for me, and be interesting to see can he reproduce against the likes of Cork and Shamrock Rovers and the other big sides in this division.
One man that had been in form, Adam Morgan, he was, you know, I found that decision to, they played him as a lone striker in this one, Kieran, and they really didn't have much of a sniff until Ali Roy came on in the 56th minute. So
surprised not to see Ali Roy start, and had a very good start to the season. A lot of people have been impressed with him since he's come into the league. So maybe the fact they're playing Dundalk, Gerry Little maybe looking to go a little bit more defensive, but your team has to be able to do the basics to do that, and they certainly didn't get the basics right defensively on Friday or on Saturday night, I should say.
Yeah, I know what Morgan's skills are, but I can't see that he plays as a lone striker, Kieran. He's a poacher rather than he would leave.
I think every goal he scored so far for Sligo, John, has come from inside the box, and maybe inside the 60 yard box most of them. So yeah, I agree with you there. Probably not the most mobile of strikers, more of a poacher, so really need someone to play off him there, and I think Gerry Little has to maybe take a little bit of criticism for that decision.
But look, another clean sheet for Dundalk, and they're starting to put some pressure on the leaders, Cork.
Yeah, obviously Stephen Kenny will be concerned about the defensive mistakes they made early on in this game. Had they been up against a more, informed side, would they have been punished? Big games coming up now in the next few weeks for Dundalk, so the title race really hotting up now at this stage.
Indeed. We'll move on, Kieran. Bowes against Bray. Wow, this game started with an absolute bang. If you got there 5 minutes late, you missed two goals. Daniel Kelly header put Bray into a surprise lead, 1-0. Ian Morris equalised. He latched onto a poor clearance, and he smashed it home, didn't
he? Absolutely fantastic goal.
Yeah, indeed. So, look, 1-1. I think we sort of had this down as a make or break match for Bowes, didn't we?
Yeah,
Kieran?
We certainly did, yeah.
Yeah. Dan Casey had a clearance. At the other end, supple save from Aaron Green. Kavanagh shot over after more Bray defensive calamities. Seems to be a running theme, does this? At the other end, Bray, Gary McCabe forced a save from supple, but. Right in injury time, it must have been almost the last kick of the game. Dinny Corcoran.
Yeah, what a time to come up with a goal. Dinny Corcoran out of form all season so far. But a huge goal for Bowes. And we had a Bohemians guest, Shawnee Fitzgerald, on the show last week. He spoke about the players not being able to live up to the pressures of playing at Dalymount Park so far this season. But they certainly came up big in a crucial moment there. And you'd like to see Bowes kick on from this, John.
Absolutely, yeah. Moving on to final match, Kieran. It was St Pat's against Limerick. Limerick have been on the end of a few massive defeats. And to be honest, this one could have been. It was a Pat's clean sheet. But they should have and could have scored more, Kieran, in this one. One man that really influenced the game was Simon Madden. Time and time again, his runs down the right led to chances for Pats. Limerick offered very, very little, almost nothing. The goal coming from another run from Madden. He won a free kick. Conan Byrne, absolute pinpoint from dead ball delivery. Ian Birmingham rose and headed home for a 1-0 win for Pats, Kieran.
Yeah, the experienced player is really stepping up for St. Pats there. John, you mentioned Madden. His performance, it kind of compounds the decision from Rovers to let him go. We really have to wonder what's gone on there from Stephen Bradley's point of view. Conan Byrne, you mentioned there with the set-piece delivery, and then Ian Birmingham with a fantastic header. So the experienced player stepping to the fore for St. Pats. Limerick, I know you said they didn't offer a lot on the night, but all it would have taken would have been one set piece chance, something like that, to fall their way, and they would have left Richmond with a draw. And having taken that heavy beating in Oriel, their performances have been much improved. And as I've said on the show for the last couple of weeks, when you look at the table, their position really isn't that bad, especially considering all the turmoil there in the off season. And I'm going to ask you now, John, is it all over in terms of the automatic relegation place already? Are Bray gone?
I think so.
Sounds
Kieran.
Crazy to say it this early in the season, but you just can't see a turnaround at that club.
You can't, and their main men really aren't hitting too much form. They've been on the end of a few heavy beatings. I can't see any hope for them, Kieran.
No, and you wouldn't imagine there's going to be a lot or of any finances there in July to bring in replacements, certainly replacements of a quality to drag you out of the situation they're in at the moment. Can't seem to defend for their lives. I know we're talking here about defensive mistakes from a lot of the sides, but as a unit, Bray looked to just have no shape about them at all. And from an attacking threat, you're looking at the likes of McCabe and Green to deliver, but there's only so much they can do at the same time, and they just don't seem to have the support. And I think it's only going to end one way this season for Bray, and ultimately it's relegation.
It just when you go back to some of the Bray press release, it just sounds bizarre, doesn't it? The fact that yes, they're struggling so badly at the moment, but don't worry, they're going to have the biggest and best academy in the world in a few years' time. Absolutely ridiculous, and you know, I just can't see an improvement for them.
But that is our Premier Division review. We'll move on now to the weekend's First Division action. There was some huge results in this one. John, you're going to take us through it now.
Yeah, we'll start with Drogheda against Galway.
Yeah, so disappointment for Galway to let a 2-goal lead slip. Owen McCormick double there, stepped in brilliantly on the night for Danny Furlong, who was out injured but will return for the big game against Longford on Friday. Drogheda hit back despite having 10 men, so signs of resilience there from Tim Clancy's men.
Yeah, after Colm Deasy's red card. So, and like you say, Galway 2-0 up, and I think that's points dropped for Galway, Kieran.
Yeah, and all the talk, I suppose, about Drogheda was the fact they'd only beaten Athlone and Wexford so far. I know they hammered them, but the question was, how good is this Drogheda team? We probably still don't know how good they are, but we can see there's a steal in the side. They were without Lee Duffy through suspension for this one, so had he been available, could they have even nicked a late winner? Certainly an interesting result in terms of the grander scheme of things, John.
Indeed. Shells beat Cove 1-0. Another goal for Davy O'Sullivan.
He's clicked.
Cove struggling, Kieran.
Yeah, watch out, First Division defences. Davy O'Sullivan has arrived at Shells. Cove, a couple of disappointing results now in succession. They'll be looking for a response this weekend, but Shells, I know you talked them up in the pre-season shows here, John, as title winners. That was until Galway brought in Danny Furlong. But a couple of games in now, how have you rated their performances?
Yeah, they've not been too bad, Kieran. I know they got off to a bit of a shaky start, but, you know, look, they're they seem to be doing all right. Davy O'Sullivan has got his scoring boots on, and I still think they'll be there or thereabouts. There's a group of six teams, I think, and anybody can beat anybody on the day. But look, we'll move on. Another man in absolute scoring form is Georgie Kelly, and he scored one of the goals as UCD put paid to Cabinteely 3-1.
Another defeat for Cabinteely, yet to get off the mark with a victory this season. They probably, you'd imagine they'll be above the likes of Wexford and Athlone, but it's not looking good for Cabinteely. I'm sorry, they got the win over Athlone, I should say, but everyone's going to win against Athlone, so they need to beat one of the more established sides now in this first division to get up and running properly. And UCD had a very comfortable win on the night. I know Between the Stripes reporter Andrew Dempsey was at the game, and he said it really could have been a lot more on the night, and Cabinteely only really threatened through set pieces. So it's been a very poor start for Cabinteely, and you just have to wonder if the loss of the likes of Dara Doyle there, the experienced heads in the dressing room, if they're just lacking that at the moment.
Yeah, well, I think it's going quite clearly it's going to be a long season for Cabo, so they're going backwards. UCD, however, seems to be putting a title challenge in place.
Yeah, I think they look the real deal, John.
Okay. Harps 1, Wexford 0. I sort of expected a few more than 1-0, but especially when Wexford were reduced to 10 men, but Michael O'Connor with the goal there, separating the sides.
Yeah, all the talk before this one was whether the O'Connor brothers would feature, and they certainly did, and I suppose no better way to get rid of those headlines from the week before than scoring a winning goal, and that's what Michael O'Connor done here. Wexford in a much improved performance, having been hammered by Drogheda the last time out and losing to Longford the week previous, so they'll be looking to, I suppose, build on what was a decent defensive performance to only concede one against Harps, but up the other end they just look extremely light.
Match we went to Kieran at the weekend, Longford 5, Athlone 1. And Athlone took a very surprised lead with a belting goal.
Oh, a belter of a goal. Mick McDonald with a defensive header inside his own box from the kickoff. Fell to an Athlone player 25 yards out perhaps. Took it on the chest, volleys it straight into the top corner. I had to enjoy the fact that the Athlone players ran straight over to the Section O fans in Longford and, you know, gave it large. And then within a few minutes, Longford had equalised. Athlone players were fighting with each other, and at that stage, Incolo, the former Longford man, involved with a little bit of a tear-up one on his own men. After that, Athlone totally fell to pieces. Longford won 5-1 on the night. It could have been 10 or 11 in all truth. But in saying that, I felt Longford were actually quite poor on the night. They did try to play it, keep it down on the deck, as we've seen since Neil Fenn has come in. But I just felt they were below par, but then again, it's hard to look good against an Athlone side who I think we both agree is probably the worst team ever to visit the City Colonel Stadium.
Yeah, Longford goal scorers, I'm not going to go through them all, but there's a brace for new signing Dean Byrne, who signed from Hardwick.
Yeah, important to see the strikers getting off the mark. Chris Mulhall was on the score sheet as well, so a little bit like we spoke about earlier there with Dundalk having Hoban and Murray. I know obviously is a different calibre of player, but perhaps now Neil Fenn might look to try and link up Dean Byrne and Chris Mulhall, so that could be an interesting proposition, although I don't think he'll go that attacking against Galway on Friday.
No, I can't see that happening. Final match, Kieran, Drogheda 2, Finn Harps 1. Drogheda in control, 2 up. Harps really writing on the wall after 10 minutes. They got they were sent down to 10 men after only 20 minutes.
Yeah, handball on the line for that one. So yeah, that's where the McCaffrey penalty came from.
Exactly. Richie Purdy made it 2. Late consolation for John O'Flynn in the 90th minute.
Yeah, nice to see John O'Flynn getting a goal. But the fact that McCaffrey didn't start in the opening games for Drogheda, he played here and got off the mark to the penalty spot. So it just shows the options Drogheda have there in their squad. And I do think they'll be right up there come the end of the season.
We might as well talk about the first division fixtures this weekend, Kieran. I'll just run through them very quickly. Wexford against Shelburne. Anything other than an away win, Kieran?
No, can't see it. I know we've mentioned there Wexford have looked to tighten things up, but to lose 8-1 at home, it really does suggest that it's going to take more than a game or two to iron out those creases in that back four. David O'Sullivan in lightning form for Shelburne. Away win, John.
Cove at home to UCD. Cove need to get the season on track soon.
Yeah, so these are the two sides that battled it out, I suppose, for the runners-up honours last season. Waterford were the runaway winners, but Cove finished second. UCD were just behind them. But I think UCD have really taken a step up this season in the class of last year. Georgie Kelly now on form again, whereas I've mentioned on the show numerous times here, I feel Cove are lacking that focal point in their attack. I'm going to go with an away win on this one, John.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, there's four of the five fixtures which are quite easy to predict. The next one's Cabinteely at home to Drogheda. Again, I'm going for an away win.
Yeah, I have to agree.
And fourth fixture, Athlone at home to Finn Harps.
You're just basically talking about how much Harps are going to win by. They'll be disappointed to have only put one past Wexford, you said. You imagine if all their strikers are available, O'Connor brothers, John O'Flynn, maybe they'll even give BJ Banda a run out in this one. I can't see how Harps aren't going to run up a cricket score in this one. But before we move on to talk about the Premier Division fixtures, we're going to bring you our interview now with Galway United fan Julian Canny ahead of that mouth-watering game at Eamon DC Park on Friday night. It's Galway United against Longford Town. So we're joined by Galway United expert, a great guest who joined us many times last year on the show to discuss the tribesmen's fortunes. Of course, they were relegated last year, but Galway looking good early on for a good promotion push in 2018. Julian Canny, you're very welcome to Between the Stripes LOI podcast.
Cheers, Kieran. Hope you lads are keeping well.
Great, Julian. All excited for the big game on Friday night, of course. It's Longford Town travelling to Eamon DC Park to take on your beloved Galway. How do you see that one going?
Yeah, like it's a pretty interesting game now because obviously like the league looks to be pretty tight, like no one's kind of pulling away, and I think everyone kind of felt that before the start of the season. It wasn't like the last couple of years where you had Limerick and Waterford, but like it really is kind of close battle between five or six teams there. So we've won our first couple of home games, so we'd want to keep that going anyway, and it should be pretty exciting because from what I've seen of us now, like we're good going forward. Obviously we've got Danny Furlong, he was out last week, and Owen McCormick stepped in with a couple of goals, but defensively we're a bit suspect, and from what I've heard, I think you lads are the same. So
yeah, most certainly
I could see this being a pretty pretty high scoring game.
Yeah, get on the overs market. I think so
yeah.
Just from a Galway point of view, you mentioned the home form has been good there. Obviously the big issue last year was away form. Two games so far, two draws, obviously a huge disappointment to let the two goal lead slip against Drogheda in United Park. But from a Longford point of view, Longford let a two goal slip lead slip at home against Cove, which I suppose is probably a worse thing to do in front of your own fans. So again, it just makes for a really exciting game on Friday night.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, I actually haven't been to the two home games, and I suppose like they've been against Athlone, who I think everyone's going to beat, and Cabo as well was the last home game. So like, I don't know, I'm kind of surprised at how they're struggling, but still, like, you still expect to beat them at home anyway. Yeah, like the two away games, first up was in Belfield against UCD, where we got a 1-1 draw. To be honest, from what I've seen so far, I think UCD are definitely a team to look out for, and like they've a lot of the team from last season, like obviously we've got a big turnover in squad, but they've pretty much all their players from last season. They won the Collingwood Cup, so they're really kind of well gelled units, so getting a draw there certainly wasn't a bad result, and like on the balance of play I think they probably shaded it. Yeah, obviously last week in Drogheda it was the proverbial game at two halves. In the first half we were all over them 2-0 up, and like we hit the post as well, and then to be fair to Tim Clancy, he kind of changed it a bit. He made two subs at half time and they really dominated the second half, and I felt like even though they went down to 10 men and equalised with the 10 men, I think at that stage if they kept pushing on with 10 men they could have won the game. They thankfully for us, they set a 2-2 with 10 men, right, we'll hold on to what we've got now, and that was kind of lucky for us. And it was a bit worrying really from our point of view that like we really kind of lost it in midfield, and we'd obviously Ryan Connolly there and Alan Murphy was playing, and I think he's kind of like technically he's still good, but like obviously his fitness levels aren't really up to it, so yeah, it was a bit of a concern that we couldn't kind of close out the deal. And it was kind of a bit of a recurring theme under Shane Keegan that defensively we're always liable to leak goals. Like we're great to watch, it's really enjoyable, and I think probably in the first division now more often than not we'll end up scoring more than the opposition, but sometimes you just need to be a bit cuter and just kind of close out games to get the 3 points.
Yeah, we've seen a real split really in the first division. There's teams there that can obviously maybe a top six or seven that can easily go on and win the league, and then sort of the bottom two or three which are really also around teams. Is that the way you see it, Julian?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Like, I think, I've seen a few games now, even not involving ourselves. Like, I saw UCD Shells on the opening day, and to be honest, I thought Shells were quite poor that day. And then they went up to Finn Park, and they got a draw there, which I was surprised. And then they've obviously beaten you lads since. But yeah, you're looking at the results at Athlone, and at Wexford have gotten, you're kind of saying, well, right, we can write those off. Cavan Healy, they haven't started well. I still think they probably could be doing a bit better. Like, they've a mix of good players, like Kieran Marty Waters is there. I think your man Jack Watson is still there, and like he was kind of quite highly rated as a youngster at Rovers, and they've a few experienced players. They're probably just kind of younger lads making it up as well, making up the 11. So that might maybe where they're falling short. But then, like, yeah, it's Longford, ourselves, UCD, Harps, Drogheda. Yeah, even Shells. One team, I know Cove have done really well the last couple of years, but I kind of said pre-season, because it's so competitive this year, I think they might find it a bit tough this year now. The last couple of years, and particularly last year, there wasn't really anything to play for when Waterford kind of were streaking ahead with it. So I think maybe they kind of kept going. And obviously Stephen Henderson has done a great job there, but I'd kind of be surprised if they were in the mix. But I think the other five or six teams, it really could go anyway. And you'll kind of need to get that home form going. It'd be hard to beat at home, get the points away, like get the draws away, kind of like we've started, really. So it's so really, Friday is a big game for us. If we can beat Longford at home, and again, just keep that little cushion between us and yourselves. And we'll see. Like, it is only 27 games as well, so it's not that long a season. It's kind of a few games shorter than you'd be used to as well. So it's it's kind of important to get off to the good start, really.
Yeah, I know from having watched the opening game between Longford and Cove, I'd probably agree with your comments there, Julian. I wasn't impressed with Cove for a good 60, 65 minutes. And then out of nowhere, they get a goal from a set piece. And then Longford give the ball away, overplaying at the back, which they can be guilty at times. And Cove got probably an undeserved draw on the night. And then Shelburne, even though they beat Longford 3-2 up in Tolkien, a fantastic game of football, it was a very direct style of play from Shelburne. I think if you were up against a stronger defence there, perhaps another team wouldn't have fallen away the way Longford did in that game, and a discipline let them down on the night too. So I think you're probably looking at the likes of Galway, Harps, UCD, as you mentioned there, has been right up the top of the First Division this season.
Like, actually, I listened to your interview yesterday with Shane Keegan. I think he made a very good point that, like, normally in the First Division, it's kind of, you might have a team with one striker and that makes a difference. But you look at all these teams and everyone's got a decent striker there. Like, thankfully we've got two now, like Danny Furlong and Owen McCormick. Chris Mulhall seems to be scoring a few goals for you, and like Davey's gone to Shells. You got Georgie Kelly at UCD, like, and then the O'Connors at Harps. Like, so all of these are kind of likely to, I don't know, take advantage of defensive mistakes. But I think, like, all of them, you can kind of question how good they are defensively. Like, certainly we've been a bit poor. Like, Robbie Williams is, I think he only played the first game of the season. He's been out since. And, like, we kind of really need his experience at the back, because we have Stephen Walsh, who you lads will know well. Like, he's playing there alongside a young guy, Maurice Nugent, who's actually, he's done pretty well since he's come in. But, like, yeah, Walsh is, like, good lad and all, but he's kind of prone to the odd rush of blood to the head, really. Yeah. So.
Julian, just one last thing I wanted to ask you before we finish. Galway lost a number of players in the close season. Out of those that left the club, who's impressed you so far this season?
Of the ones who've left us.
Yeah, the ones that...
Yeah, so, like, Ronan Murray kind of had a really good pre-season at Dundalk, but it's a bit strange. It kind of hasn't quite clicked for him since the league has started. But,
I think I raised on the pre-season shows, Julian, I haven't watched a lot of the Dundalk games in pre-season. In pre-season, Murray was playing right up as the lone striker, because obviously Holman was out injured. Since then, he's dropped into the number 10, a position we felt he would be comfortable in. He did like to drop very deep and get involved for Galway last season, but just seems to be struggling to adjust that to position slightly. So I think that's an interesting one for Stephen Kenny to look at.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, I suppose probably the most impressive, and I think I might have said it on the podcast last year, is Rory Hale, who's gone to Derry. I thought he was an excellent player when he came in for us. He was a bit unfit. I think he hadn't played for a while, but he was playing like every game, got his match fitness, and by the end of the season, he was like a really quality player. He scored in the last day against Dundalk. I think that was his first goal for us, and obviously he's gone up to Derry. I think he's got one goal there, and he scored for the under-21s there during the week on his debut, actually, after 14 seconds. So, I think he's probably done the best, but yeah, it's... I don't know. It's in some ways it's kind of sad to see all these lads around the league, like they were with us last season, playing with Derry and Dundalk, and yeah, it's what could have been, really. But
just before you go, Julian, can you give us a prediction for Friday night?
Yeah, I think, as I say, I think we'll shade it, but it's going to be high scoring, like something crazy, like. I don't know, like a 4-2 for Galway.
Yeah, long for missing a few players as well, so it could just be...
But, there was one other thing. I know when we were texting before, I was saying there's going to be some controversial topic that I was going to bring up here. So I just want to say that, like, Neil Fenn's been on your podcast a few times, and you're going on about, like, how stylish he is and everything. And, like, that could be all right, like, going to towns like Drumnish and Ballymahon. And, like, he's coming to Galway on Friday now, so, like, I don't know. He might have to up his game. Like, it's...
Wow.
Hopefully he'll be listening to this. And
Of course he's listening. Yeah, of course he's listening.
To impress, coming to Galway now, but...
Wow, you've just given him his team talk, Julian. I'm sorry, you, Galway fans went long for win on Friday. Julian is the man to speak to. Julian, pleasure as always. Thanks for joining us, and we might see you up there Friday.
Yeah. All right. Brilliant.
Thanks a million.
Good luck. Cheers. Bye.
Enjoying the show so far? Why not leave us a review on iTunes? Want something featured on next week's show? Get in touch via Twitter at Between Stripes, or find us on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Finally, our new website address is www.betweenthestripes.ie. Enjoy the second half.
Always good to talk to Julian Canny. Great to get the fans' perspective. I always like fan interviews, as I know you do, Kieran.
Yeah, but I'm not sure Neil Fenn's going to be too happy, Joe John.
No, his dress sense question. That's the one thing he prides himself on, as well as his team's performance
course,
as well.
Of course.
But anyway, let's move on. Premier Division fixtures, Kieran. Full house of fixtures. We're going to start off with Rock Bottom Bray at home to Cork City. Guaranteed away win?
Yeah, a bit like a few of the games in the first division. It's hard to see anything bar a big Cork City win here. Bray defensively just can't seem to get it together. Cork obviously didn't play in the league last weekend, but had a 5-0 win in the Munster Senior Cup final against St Mary's. Good friend of ours, Josh O'Hanlon, getting on the score sheet there, John.
Well, that's probably the only tournament he'll be playing in, to be honest, Kieran.
Ooh.
I know, it's probably a bit harsh, but anyway... Look, we both go for a Cork City win
yeah,
there on
100%
that one.
On that one.
Yeah. Dundalk at home to Bohemians. So Dundalk, clean sheet specialists.
Yeah, we were just talking about Bohemians, you know, hoping to kick on again from that win against Bray, but this is probably the wrong game to go into looking to continue a roll of form. Dundalk, invincible at the back so far this season, although I do think that's going to end sooner rather than later, judging by the start they made against Sligo. Although on the flip side of that, it could... encourage them to tighten up even more at the back. So let's see how much longer this run goes. Obviously, the longer it goes, the better chance they have of really keeping in touch with Cork, if not overtaking them. I'd have to go with a home win on Friday night.
I think so. I can't see Bo stretching them too much. So, Dundalk home win. Moving on, Limerick, certainly very, very poor last weekend. They're at home to on-form Waterford.
Yeah, so Munster derby, interesting one here. Limerick, as you said, well below par against St. Pat's. Waterford, fantastic home win against Rovers. They're going to come in a high on this one. I just think for me, Waterford's attacking players, there's too many of them in good form. You're looking at Heary, who actually had a quiet night against Rovers, but has been probably the most informed fielder in the league. Houlihan could have had a couple of goals against Rovers. Doofus a flying, Akinade a goal during the week. Too much attack and threat there for a side like Limerick that's shipped goals this season. Away win.
Yeah, agreed on that one. Away win. Derry host St. Pat's, Kieran. That might be a bit tougher to call.
Yeah, but the Brandywell factor coming into play again, John, here. I know their two home games came against the bottom sides, Limerick and Bray. But Pats have been inconsistent this season, and this is the sort of game where they're going to have to show that they have the steel to keep up a European challenge. I'm not saying that they don't have the ability to do that and they won't be up there come the end of the season, but for me this is a good time for Derry to be playing at home, and I think they'll capitalise on that with a win against Pats.
I agree, Kieran. Final match, Shamrock Rovers against Sligo Rovers.
Yeah, big game for Shamrock Rovers this one. Going to be an expectant home crowd at the Tallaght Stadium. They'll be very disappointed to have lost to Waterford despite the red card and all the injuries there. It'll be interesting to see how Stephen Bradley lines his team out for the visit of Sligo, who, as we said, like a lot of the sides, have been defensively woeful so far this season. Tough one to call, John.
Well, I'm going for a home win on that one, Kieran. I can't see Rovers' defence being as bad as it was last week.
Yeah, especially if Graham Burke's in form, it's going to be hard to see how Sligo are going to keep a clean sheet. And then you're talking about them having to score two or three goals, and they haven't shown that so far this season. So I think I'm going to follow you on that one and go with a Rovers away win. But before we go any further, folks, we're going to bring you our latest interview now, and it's with Shamrock Rovers legend Stephen Rice. So, folks, we get the very best interviews here on Between the Stripes LOI podcast, and we're delighted to be joined by a man that can only be described as both a Longford Town and a Shamrock Rovers legend. It's, of course, Stephen Rice. Stephen, you're very welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys.
So, Stephen, as I said there, quite an honours list for yourself. Two League of Ireland titles, two Setanta Cups, a League Cup, a Leinster Senior Cup, and, of course, that First Division title with Longford. Rovers Player of the Year in 2010, and of course that famous Europa League run, which contained a goal against my English side, Tottenham Hotspur. But on that night, I was actually celebrating the Rovers goal. It was just a truly amazing thing to see. When you hear that read back to you, you must pinch yourself. An amazing career, really.
Yeah, I suppose when you say it all back like that, you do kind of. You look back and say, Jesus, there's a bit there, you know, particularly when, as I said, I'd returned from England, like, you know, when you come back from England, obviously, you know, a lot of players, you can go one way or the other, a lot of players decide to walk away, and just, it's not for them mentally, and so coming back, it was the first priority was to forge a career here within the league, and once I'd done that then, the next step then was once I'd established myself as a player was to be successful and win trophies. And I was fortunate enough to do that at Shamrock Rovers.
And you've taken the next step in your footballing career. You're a manager now of the Rovers under-17s. You're doing work with the FEI as well. How are you finding that line of work?
Yeah, great. I mean, people generally say to me that I finished playing quite early, or, you know, the term is used, you're mad, you know, when people that I retired at 31 or I stopped playing at 31, like, you know, but I stopped playing at 31 because I wanted to focus on coaching and to try to learn and develop myself as a coach and improve. And I said I'd done a couple of years with the DDSL and the Kennedy Cup and with the FAI and the Emerging Talent, and now I'm at Shamrock Rovers with the under-17s, and it's really exciting. As I said, I still work for the FAI also, doing as a development officer, which involves me doing some coach ed courses as well, which is really enjoyable. I really love the development side of the game.
Yeah, it's funny you should say about finishing the career early, because you know, when you were at Longford, you know, you had that role of the midfield general, and the season after you left, we really, really missed that and ended up getting relegated, having lost umpteen matches on the spin. Was there an option to stay on with Longford, Stephen?
No, not at the time. There was an option to stay on, and it was Tony at the time, and he just said they were going to go a different way, and look, again, it was probably time as well for myself to try a different challenge, and obviously I was going, personally there was a lot of stuff going on as well at the time, so it was probably just the right time, you know, but there wasn't an option to stay at the club. But I thoroughly enjoyed my two seasons there. I loved it. I'll always speak highly of the club, and as I said, it's always the first result I look to in the first division.
Were you surprised by that decision, Stephen? Because as John mentioned there, midfield general is how the supporters would have all viewed you. Great success coming in, winning the first division, and then first season up in the Premier, a top six finish. And when you say that now as a Longford fan, it seems quite incredible, really. So a surprising move from an outside point of view.
Yeah, well, look, that's. But I suppose, look, I look at it now from, as I said, I've been coaching for probably 7 years now in Tottenham, and now I'm managing a group of players. And look, you know, everybody has every manager and coach has a different opinion. And I, look, when I look at it now from a coaching point of view,
you know, decisions that you make as a coach, then people might say, geez, you know, so it's, you know, everyone, each his own, you know, as I said, and like at the time, you know, it's 2 great years with Tony, he saw him at the club, so look, that's football, and that's what happens, like, you know, so there's certainly no hard feelings on my behalf with certainly with Tony or with anyone at the club. That's football, that's the nature of it, and, you know, people move on and the club moves on without you, and that's, I think, some of those players can get caught up and think, oh, you know, I'll be here, and like the game will always move on without you, and whether it be a player or a club, it will move on, you know. So, but yeah, but look, that's, as I said, it's football.
Of course, Longford wasn't your final club. You went up the north then for a little while. How did you find that, playing in a different league? And standard-wise, how would you weigh it up against the League of Ireland? I know it was only a short spell, but
yeah, it was Alan Kiernan was the manager in Glentoran, and yeah, I went up there and gave it. Look, it was something I wanted to try, you know. My mindset was very much looking toward coaching at that point, and I'd nearly finished all my coaching qualifications at that stage, so I was really, and I was working with the DDSL, the Kendi Cup squads at the time, so I had a lot going on and holding down a job as well, and you know, I was probably in the mindset of stopping. But when Alan called, and I said, look, it was something different, and I said, look, why not give it a try? And I've only ever played in the League of Ireland, obviously excluding my time in the academy in England. And it was different standard wise. Yeah, I think, look, you know, in terms of the League of Ireland, we'll be far ahead in terms of the, I suppose, the standard of play, the fitness of the players. But I really enjoyed it, and again, at Glentoran, a really a big club, and a club I can be honest to say that I did play for, albeit for a short period of time.
Yeah, Stephen, so you had, a great career in the League of Ireland. You just started on your managerial journey. Is management something you want to do full-time going forward? Would you see yourself managing in the League of Ireland?
At the moment, I don't. I've worked in the last 6-7 years coaching, but working my way up through the ages from 14s, 15s, and now with 17s, you know. It's not something that I'm looking toward in terms of first team management, as I really enjoy working with younger players. I really enjoy the innocence of younger players, and they just want you to make them a player, and you know, there's no agendas, there's no problems with women, or there's no, you know, there's nothing like that. All they want to do is make you a player, and I think there's something really refreshing about that in the environment, when you've got young players and all they want is that, just help me be a player. So I'm really enjoying that at the moment. There's certainly no looking to anything in terms of management wise in the immediate future, because I've loads to do, I've loads to learn, I'm making mistakes all the time, but you know, as I said, I'm learning my trade and I'm really enjoying it.
And obviously, Stephen, the majority of your work comes at the new Roadstone training facility for Shamrock Rovers. I was up there in pre-season myself. Absolutely fantastic facility Shamrock Rovers have there. I think it's fair the club have probably taken a different approach in recent years, looking really in-depth at the academy. Do you feel it's going to bear fruits in maybe not the next 5 years, but in certainly 10, 20 years' time?
I really do, and it's something, obviously I have very close connections with Shamrock Rovers, but from a developmental point of view, once obviously I spoke to Shane and stuff at the club, that and seeing what was happening, and obviously the connection, how as a player, you know, it was really exciting, and I really do believe, I think, you know, sooner than 10 years we will start to see the benefits of some of the young players coming through. I think we've already seen some in the first team. In particular, you know, with some of the young players who made their debut last year, and some will make their debuts probably this year, but certainly over the next 5 years, you'd like to think that the club will become really sustainable through a really strong youth development policy.
Yeah, and I think it's fair to say a lot of the League of Ireland clubs seem to be taking that approach now, really looking at their youth and their academy setup. I know Longford Town have really taken a much more serious approach with the academy, and obviously Neil Fenn coming in there has his own academy too, so it's a great link-up for the club. It's been a huge week for Ireland underage sides internationally. Do you feel Irish football has finally taken the right step in the right direction?
I think so, absolutely. And I think results... we've always been hell bent on results here, you know, at an underage level, in terms of the result was everything, and we probably sacrificed the development of our players at a younger age just to get the result no matter what. Whereas now, I think with the structures in place for the League of Ireland clubs, the 13s coming, the 15s, the 17s, the 19s, this has given the League of Ireland clubs, you know, this is, I think, you know, it's given them a real lifeline to say, here you go, make your club sustainable. There's the, you know, say they've been given the power, but they've been given a fantastic opportunity to really take hold of this and develop their own players in their own unique way, whether it's Longford or Shamrock Rovers, and develop them as those players from a very young age. In terms of the international results, I think we've got a boy, James Forlong, is currently with the 17th squad who just qualified, and Keane Clark, who's with our 19th. It's fantastic that, you know, League of Ireland players are under 17s, under 15s, under 19s are being capped, because realistically, 10 years ago, if you didn't go to England at 15,
yeah,
16, the realism of it was you probably weren't going to be capped, like, at 17, 18, 19, if you weren't in England, because there was no other structures and no other pathways for you to go anywhere else. And now you look at all the Jim Crawford squad, for example, I watched them against Romania on Sunday. Now, I think they had 8 League of Ireland players in it, which is fantastic. And this is, I think, bearing fruit already for the League of Ireland clubs, but more so for the international squads.
Finally, Stephen, I touched on earlier your goal against Tottenham. I couldn't let you go without asking you about that. 5,000 Rovers fans over in the corner of White Hart Lane. You get the touch on the ball into the bottom corner to give Rovers the lead against the mighty Spurs. Talk us through the emotions. What was going through your head at that moment in time?
Yeah, well, I know it was just after half time, and we were blessed to get in at 0-0. Like, and there was a lot of tired face at half time. We said, look, let's stay in it for another 15 minutes. And I remember Michael saying, look, let's stay in it. You know, nothing silly for the next one. I suppose we went out probably expecting an onslaught in the first 10 minutes of the second half, and it was a free kick, I think. And we seen it coming at me quick, and I knew any type of touch, the keeper wouldn't be able to react. It was a dream come true, as I said again. Returning from England, you think, you know, probably never going to get that chance to go to a Premier League ground and play. And it was, you know, the stuff of dreams in terms of scoring in a massive Premier League ground, which I'd always watched teams playing as I grew up. But not only to score, but obviously right in front of, well, it was a 5,000 Shamrock Rovers fans going absolutely bananas. Like, you know, it was a very surreal moment.
Stephen, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on. Thanks very much for joining us, and keep up the good work with Rovers. Looks like the academy there is really taking shape, and it's a positive step for Irish football without a doubt.
Likewise, lads, keep up the good work yourselves. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Stephen.
Take care. See you, boy.
BetweenTheStripes.ie is sponsored by Diaga. Based in Buncrana, County Donegal, Diaga are world leaders in top-class logo and graphic design, website building, film production, illustration, and much more. For further information, please visit Diaga.ie.
So, just before we leave you this week, folks, we better make you aware of Monday's EA Sports Cup fixtures. Waterford United face Cork City. Limerick FC host Cove, so that's two Munster derbies there. Finn Harps versus Derry City, that's a derby game as well, as is Galway versus Sligo Rovers. Very interesting tie at Richmond Park, where St Pat's will host Dundalk FC. Bohemians play UCD. UCD overcame Athlone Town by 2-0 midweek. And Shamrock Rovers will be hosting our very own Longford Town. Shelburne will play either St Mochtas or Drogheda at a later date. But John, you just said off air there that you don't really care about the EA Sports Cup.
No, look, there's poor attendances. If there was a carrot at the end of it, you know, European qualification for the winners, then yes, then there'd be some interest. But for me, it's a bit of a meaningless competition.
Even the prize money, I have to agree, is absolutely woeful. So I can see why a lot of the bigger sides look to use it as an opportunity to bed younger players. But then again, you can't tell me if Longford got to the final, you wouldn't be singing the praises of the EA Sports Cup final, a chance to win silverware and a big day out somewhere.
Well, exactly. But look, like I say, it's like the Leinster Senior Cup to me. You know, it's
at least the EA Sports Cup is properly organised, though, John. The Leinster Senior Cup, Longford and UCD were supposed to play 2 months ago. That game, nobody knows when it's going to be. It could have been played for all we know. That tournament was scrapped. It was brought back. I think there's enough games to be played. Maybe the First Division sides obviously only have 27, but they have the League Cup, they have the FAI Cup. There's plenty of chances during breaks in the season to arrange friendlies with teams from the north or even other First Division sides. So,
Kieran, in a few years' time, when the League of Ireland gets a high enough coefficient, they'll have an extra position in Europe, and that should go to the EA Sports Cup winners.
I agree. Folks, that's been this week's show. Thanks very much for joining us. Big shout out to everyone that tuned in last week. I think we had around 700 listeners, which is fantastic given all the competition that's out there. But as we all know, Between the Stripes, number one. Thanks to everyone that's followed us on Twitter recently. We're over the 1,000 mark now on Twitter, which is a great achievement. Same on our Facebook page. So you'll hear now in a second with a little jingle at the end, as we always have, how you can find us online. Don't forget our new website as well. But we'll be back again next week with all the reviews from what looks to be a big weekend of League of Ireland action, and of course the EA Sports Cup as well, which I care about, John. I care about. That's all that matters. Folks, thanks very much for joining us. Speak to you again soon.
Subscribe to Between the Stripes LOI podcast now on iTunes, Audio Boom, Mixcloud, Pocket Cast, or Podcast Republic, and never miss an episode. You can follow us on Twitter at Between Stripes, or like us on Facebook and Instagram by searching Between the Stripes. Add us on Snapchat. Our username is BTS1924. While for all the latest League of Ireland news and updates, you can visit BetweenTheStripes.ie. Until next week, thanks for listening.